scripture text is taken from 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 to verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 to 11, I shall read. But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
I greet all of you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our Savior, and He is also the head of this church. I shall be leaving for a battle in Melbourne on the 13th, this Wednesday, and then but returning on the 1st of January for the FEBC. So I covered your prayer for Journey Mercies and the ministry of the Lord's work in Bethel. When you are in Melbourne, please don't hesitate to come and worship with us at Bethel. You are most welcome. The address is very easy to remember, 10 Downing Street. But not London, please. It's Oakley, 10 Downing Street. And the service starts at 9:30 a.m. So please come. Now, if you have a Bible with you, please turn to 1 Peter chapter 4, the passage which has been read to you. This is a passage which I feel that every Christian should know, should learn, should understand. And not only those Christians in Melbourne, but also here in the RELC Center, True Life Bible Presbyterian Church. Here in his letter here, Peter encouraged Christians who were suffering at that time. You see, for example, here in verse 1 of chapter 4, he says, "For as much them as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind." So during the days of Peter there, at that time, many Christians were being persecuted. And some of them even died because of the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. They called Jesus Lord. And then they also for the testimony of the Word of God. They were strong in their faith and they were persecuted. And Peter here wrote this letter especially for Christians to encourage them. Today, not only in other parts of the world, but here in Singapore, Christians who want to stand for the truth, for the Word of God, for the Lord Jesus Christ, are equally persecuted. They are criticized, they are condemned, and even cursed. So as Peter says here, be like the Lord Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ was suffered and was persecuted, and then the saints, we are no different. So arm yourself with that mind. And you suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ, as Peter says, you don't have to worry. If the Master suffered, we as His children, His servants, will also suffer the same. And don't be surprised about this kind of persecution. Don't be surprised. Because it is already predicted in the Bible that in the last days this will happen. And we are living in the last days. Make no mistake about that. We are living in the last days. Anytime you can be raptured, anytime, maybe even this moment, all of us will be raptured, I hope. But if some of you stayed behind, what would you do? Oh, you have the Bible with you, you better turn to the page and really go on your knees and repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Alright, so don't be surprised. Now I'd like to look at the very portion which Peter here mentioned for us. Look at verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. So before Peter goes on to tell us about how we should further live for the Lord Jesus Christ, he mentions here that as Christians together, and especially knowing that the end is of all things is soon, and the end of all things here is a reference to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember the time when when Jesus Christ was on earth, and then the disciples went to the Lord Jesus Christ and asked the Lord Jesus Christ, when will these things happen? When will the end of the world be? When will the end be? And the Lord Jesus Christ gave his sermon. And Jesus Christ was referring to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, it is a reference to his glorious, visible, and bodily return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then through the divine inspiration, Paul tells us of a secret meeting before his bodily visible return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We call it the parousia. Before the parousia, there was this secret meeting in which Christians will be raptured up to meet the Lord in the air. And that is imminent. And so because of this, Peter says, for this reason, Peter encouraged all these Christian readers, his Christian readers who have been persecuted, to be sober. That means to exercise self-control, to be sound in your mind and to be watchful, and that means to be calm, collected in prayer, to be prayerful, to love one another, he says there, with fervent charity, and the word there means love, to love one another, that we all should love one another, and to be hospitable, that means to be generous. The root word of hospitable there comes from the word phileo, means to love one another, to be generous, to love one another, to be kind to one another, to be giving to one another. And then he used the last one there, he says that to use the gifts which God gave to you and me, to all his servants, to all his people, to use it to glorify and honor God. This last part, where it's in verse 10 and 11, is where I would like to concentrate on. Verse 10, it says, every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same gift one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Do you know that every Christian receives a gift? You have gifts. Spiritual gifts, natural gifts you have. Do you know that? And we are to use this gift, not for ourselves. God has given us this gift, each one of us, to use it for the advancement of his kingdom. And then for his household, for the family of God, we are all members of the same family. We are to use this gift so that we can encourage one another, as Peter earlier said, to love one another, to use hospitality, to help one another, to be kind to one another, to be generous, to use this in order to strengthen the body of Christ so that the body of Christ can be strong and move forward, advance God's kingdom as good stewards. So in other words, while we are called servants, we are also called stewards. So do you know that God has given you gifts? Are you using them? Or are you saying that I do not know what my gifts are? Sometimes that is only an excuse. Now in this passage, verses 10 and 11, two significant words. Alright, gift and stewards. Alright, first of all, what is a steward? Every Christian is a steward of God. So what is a steward? Well, you have the... Many of you have traveled in an aeroplane. So you have a steward and stewardess there. Does the aeroplane belong to the steward and stewardess? You all know. No, it does not belong to them. The aeroplane belongs to the company. If you travel by SIA, it belongs to Singapore Airlines. But the stewards and the stewardess do not own those that aeroplane. But they are there in order for what? To serve the passengers. Whatever thing is in the plane, they are free to use it. But not use it for themselves. You don't find the stewardess just eat all the things in the plane, in the galley, and then they take everything. No. They use it for the passengers. And if you need water, you just press a button and then the stewardess will come and say yes, and then say, I like a cup of water, and she will go and bring a cup of water or whatever you ask for. And if they have, they give it to you. And then do you praise? Yes, sometimes you praise, but in the end you praise the Singapore Airline, the best airline in the world. This is a very simple illustration. The same idea is applied in the spiritual world, the church, in the household of God. So in the household of God, in the church here, God owns everything, including you. God owns you and God owns me. And everything that you have. Are you listening? Are you protesting? How can that be? All right, let me turn to you one passage. Turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And let me read to you, it's self-explanatory here, to see what King David, very rich man, the king of Israel at that time, and what he said of the Lord. All right, let me read to you very quickly. Beginning from verse 10, 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 10. Record it down. Remember this section. And here David said, wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is made great, and to give strength unto all. A person is great only by the hand of God. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thy own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee, and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. You can amass a lot of wealth in this world, but it will last. When we live here, we leave everything. We can't take anything away. Verse 16, O Lord our God, all these store that we have prepared to build thee an house for thy holy name cometh of thy hand and is all thy own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart, and had pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the hearts of the heart of thy people, thoughts and of the heart of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee. And give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart. And so you see here, very clear, isn't it? As David said, everything that what he was and what he owns, even the people of Israel, God has blessed the people so much. He said that all the things, everything belongs to God. And what they enjoy all comes from God. If you are a Christian, even if you are not a Christian, this is the truth. So Christian always should have that kind of mind. First of all, we must understand this truth. That all you have and all you are, and what I have and what I am, all belongs to God. Understand this. And then also the other truth is that, you know, that if you amass everything, a lot of things, a lot of wealth in this world, you know that you cannot take one item with you. Not even a cent. You know, I just saw a cent. You know, 1 cent, Singapore, 1 cent, so tiny, 1 cent still. I know it's in circulation. 1 cent, you cannot take 1 cent with you. See, why it's impressive, you know, to impress upon you that we are nothing. Naked we come, and naked we will go. And so now you have a lot. God has blessed you. Important thing is that how are you going to use all these things? So you must first of all think that all that I have here belongs to God. All right. Having said this, having impressed this upon us, now we go to the next word, gift. God has endowed everyone with a gift, or many gifts, some with some gifts. Now, what is the first gift? This gift you don't earn, you know. You don't earn. You don't work for it. You get this gift. By grace, you get this gift. Now, the first gift that you have, which is most important for your life and my life for the Lord, is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Do you have the Holy Spirit in you? This is very important. If you don't have the Holy Spirit in you, and although you say you are a Christian, then dangerous. It's very dangerous. You have no part in the kingdom of God. You do not belong to God as a child of God. You do not belong to the household of God. So you must make sure. And how to make sure? Is there a point in time in your life where you go and went on your knees and confess your sin, your need of Jesus Christ, and accept Him as your Savior? Lord, I'm a sinner. Thank you for dying for me. Come into my heart. And Christ will come into your heart. He will seal you with the Holy Spirit. So you must have the Holy Spirit. Why is it important? Because without the Holy Spirit, you cannot do the work of God. Why you can do the work of God in this church is because of the Holy Spirit. Why all of you come together here every Sunday, and on weekdays you still gather together. While those you come from different walks of life, you still gather together. Sometimes you don't like one another's face too, but you still come together. Why? Because of the Holy Spirit. And you cannot explain it. Of course, the Holy Spirit doesn't talk to you with a very clear, audible voice. Stephen Koo, you better go to True Life Bible Christian, BPC. You know, he doesn't say that. But in your heart, you feel something that pull you, prompt you, and you come. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And you work together, and you, in order to advance God's kingdom. In spite, sometimes, of all the problems that you have within the church, you pressed on because of the Holy Spirit. And here Peter earlier said, then we try to love one another, forgive one another, care for one another, be generous and work and do the will of the Lord. So the first thing that you must have the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit means power. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you do not have the power of God to do God's work. To do God's work, you must have the power of God. You know, it's very difficult to convert someone. I tell you, it's very difficult. You witness to someone, sometimes you witness to your parents. You see how difficult it is? You keep on saying, telling, explaining, oh, and then the person say, not yet, not yet. At first, I don't care, I don't want to hear. Then later, you keep on persisting. Say, not yet, not yet, not yet, not yet. How difficult. You don't have the power. And then one day you say, okay, I believe. Is it because of you? Because of the mercy of God. So one day, so that's why you have to have this power, the power of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, you cannot do. And so when Peter preached to Cornelius also, he saw it is the power of the Holy Spirit that gives. So this is very important. You must have the Holy Spirit in you. And since you know you have the Holy Spirit in you, you have to trust and obey God and do His will. Alright? Beside that, there are many other gifts too that you give, that God gives you. Alright, let's see. What are these gifts? In general, okay, turn to Romans chapter 12. There are many other passages. You can also turn to find another parallel passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But just turn to Romans chapter 12. And then here you have a list of gifts there, beginning from verse 6. Having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Now, of course, the word here, prophecy, does not mean that you are able to foretell, because more often than not, it means telling forth, be a spokesman for God, for the Lord. That is prophecy. Pro, you see. You are pro someone. So you are pro God. You are speaking the word of God. So whenever you speak the word of God, you share the word of God, you teach the word of God, you are a prophet. A modern term, preacher. But you are a prophet. So some of us are given this, the gift of prophecy. And if you are given that gift, according proportion of your faith, you do it. Or some ministry, he says here, so let us wait in verse 7, to ministering. So the word ministry here, it means service. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. One who is given the gift to exhort someone. You see, someone is not doing right, or walking right with the Lord. But God has given you a special gift, and you are able to encourage that brother or sister. And he that giveth, to do it simply with simplicity. Here definitely is speaking of the giving of his substance. And God has blessed some of you so much. But Peter says here, to give with simplicity. Sometimes I wonder, why did Peter say the word here with simplicity? Because some people who earns much, who wants to give the Lord much, he will waive. I must have my names all written on that hall. I don't mind paying for this hall. How much does it cost? A few $100,000? Yes. But I wonder if it costs Stephen Koo's hall. Then from posterity, will always remember when they come inside, wow, Stephen Koo's hall. Peter said, don't do that. To give with simplicity. Only God knows. All right? Because Peter, later, further down in that verse, Peter says, all do it for who? For the glory of God. Why for the glory of God? Earlier is what? Because all that I have, and I can pay for the building of this auditorium, comes from whom? From God. So I must give the glory to God. Only God used me. And he gave me the gift of giving. And then he that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. See, to show mercy with cheerfulness. Sometimes we show mercy, we all get angry, always scold a person. When we show mercy, we scold a person many times. And not being cheerful about it. We say, you deserve to die. You deserve to suffer. Instead of cheerfully show that mercy. These are the different gifts we have. It's just like to give an illustration. We are all born with natural gifts. That one also we don't. Nobody give us. We are born with it. It's given freely, graciously, freely. And how do you find out your gift? Some of you are accountants, lawyers, teachers, etc., etc., okay? Today, how did you find out that you would become an accountant? When you were small, how did your parents? So parents always give you a chance. You go and study. Oh, you tell your parents, I like to be an accountant. So you study accountancy. You try, right? And you even try hard, you know. Naturally. And then certain children, you see their certain gifts. Oh, you hear music. Well, you see, the first start tapping and putting, oh, she likes music. And straight away, the next moment, the daddy go and buy either a Yamaha Porter Sound or a piano or a thing, and then work or send to music school. It's natural. You try, you test. And if fail, you change. You find, oh, this is not, and you change. Right? Why don't you try the same? When you are born spiritually, your God gives you the gifts, so you try. Go and work by faith. Go and do the things and by faith. And you will find out what is your particular or peculiar gifts. And where is the niche there where God wants you to be. That part in the household of God for you to serve. And expand, extend, advance his kingdom. Find out. And you do it by faith. Just do it. And I believe with all my heart, God will show you. Alright? Why are you not doing this? Are you doing it? The reason why, I tried to put down some of the reasons why. Either we are unbelieving. No, there's no such thing. Or we make no effort to find out our spiritual gifts. I just don't want to find out. Or we don't want to know. Because to know means I got to do, I have responsibility. To know means responsibility. And means responsibility, I have to do it. Or simply I don't care. Or another one, like giving excuses. I think this one may be common. I am not gifted. The other person is. The other person, or this person, that person. Why don't you call that person, call this person, you know? Or we keep giving excuses. It's not a question of ability, right? How many of you here will just stand and say, I'm a fool, I'm stupid, I'm no good? How many of you? Very few. Only you use such words about yourself put yourself down as a ploy to escape from something. No. Don't excuse yourself, you know. It is not a matter of ability, it's a matter of are you willing or not. You see, the Holy Spirit is in you, He will give you the power. Are you willing? Are you willing to be that instrument that God can use you? How wonderful is it to let God use you for the good of His household and for the advancement of His kingdom? And this is the best thing to do in life, you know, than to live on your own. And at the end of everything, you die. What do you have left? This reminds me of the parable of the Lord Jesus Christ. This rich man is traveling, going to a far country. He called his servant one, he gave 5 talents, the other one 2 talents, the other one 1 talent. He went and then he came back and then he asked them to give an account. So the 5 fellow came, so I have gained another 5. And then he said, well done, you good and faithful servant. And the first one will get 2 also came and said, I got another 2. He said, oh, so well done. The same words, well done, you are faithful. The number one, the one who had 1 talent, say, oh, you know, I preserve it. And then what did he do? He lived on his own life. And then he told the Lord, he said, I know you, you are a nasty fella. You always scold, and you don't take what is yours, you know. The Lord condemns this servant. God has given you the gift of the Holy Spirit. He has given you 1 life. He has blessed your life. He has preserved you these years. And you have worked. And God has blessed you so much. What did you do with that? Are you thinking the Lord is unfair? If I give to the Lord, will the Lord give me back? Sometimes we argue this way. You reason with the Lord that way. We thought that the Lord is going to take everything. I have nothing. Oh, we are very stupid. God owns what? The cattle on 1,000 hills. I once went to this supermarket, and then I always buy vegetables from him, and then the lady, quite a little lady, asked me, hey, you got no work? Yeah, I say, I got work. I work for my father. Your father? Yes, my father owns the cattle of 1,000. We have 1,000 ranches in America. My father owns it. Wow, your father is very rich. I say, yes, my father is very rich. Very good. When he dies, he will give it to you. No, he will never die, I said. But I don't have money, you see. Whenever I need, I call my father and then he send money to me. That's very true. Not only true for you, for you too. Your father, your heavenly father is very rich. Do you know that? You think he wants to take all yours and give you nothing? No. He wants to give you more and more until you cannot put in your pockets. I don't know where to put it. You know? If you know how to use it for His glory, your life will be wonderful. This is God. Do you believe it? Remember last week I talked about God? Yeah. This is God. So love Him, serve Him, and use whatever God has given you for Him. What kind of attitude we should have? Alright, I like this illustration, which I read it from somewhere, where it pressed the point, how we should. Let me read to you. A young man applied for a job as a farmland. And when asked for his farmhand qualification, he said, I can sleep when the wind blows. This puzzled the farmer, but he took a liking to the young man and hired him. A few days later, the farmer and his wife were awakened in the night by a violent storm. They quickly began to check things out to see if all was secure. They found the shutters of the farmhouse had been securely fastened. A good supply of logs had been set next to the fireplace. The farm implements had been placed in the storage shed, safe from the elements. The tractor has been moved into the garage. The barn had been properly locked. All was well. Even the animals were calm. It was then that the farmer grasped the meaning of the young man's words. I can sleep when the wind blows. Because the farmhand had performed his work wisely and faithfully, when the skies were clear, he was prepared for the storm when it broke. Consequently, as you can know, when the wind blew, he had no fear. He was able to sleep in peace. This story here illustrates one point. How do we serve the Lord? Faithfully, wisely, serve the Lord during good times and bad times as well. But sometimes we all wait till bad times, then we come to the Lord, right? Many times, you see, even our own life, we want to live for the Lord, we don't care, everything is well. And then when tragedy strikes, then we turn to the Lord. This is not what this story is telling us about. When the sky is clear, we faithfully, wisely do for the Lord. Peter says that the end of all things is what? Near. Very soon, Jesus Christ is coming. And so before he comes, we all better as his servants, give us the gifts, everything to work for him, to do, to advance his kingdom. Because the ultimate life, the real life, is not here on this earth. This is the most miserable life, in the sense that you can accumulate everything and in the end you cannot take one thing with you, and then you don't do it for the Lord, you get zero, big zero. You are saved, but you get big zero. That's very sad. In for eternity, you know? Yeah. Isn't it? So, what are your gifts? Use it. You are stewards. Use it for the glory of God. And the supreme motivation is that I love the Lord and do it for him. Here, the Lord gave, we're going to remember the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 22 is read to us, just expresses the feelings of our Lord Jesus Christ while he hung on the cross. For, not for himself, but for you and me. He gave his life for you. Is he asking too much from us? That God is asking too much that we give our life to him? When we give our life to him, the one life that we have, he's going to bless. Alright, you young people, you give your whole life ahead of you. Yes, you have all your plans. You commit all your plans to the Lord and see how the Lord leads you and use you. For us, of course, those of us who are in the middle age, well, you are still good. You are still at the height of your career. You can really work very hard for the Lord. For those of us who are over the other side of the hill, you still have little time left. Make full use of that time to serve the Lord. And maybe, who knows, God will extend you another 10 years as God has done that before. And then, because he loves you and he wants you to have more rewards in heaven. Let us serve the Lord. Be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. And we pray, Father, that these words that you have written will abide in our hearts, Lord. Transform and change us. Today onwards, Lord, we will give our life to you. and use each one of us. Help us to find what are the gifts, the special gifts, particular gifts that you have given to us. Above all, we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. This we pray, we ask, give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.